the definition of the exaltation of Christ, the act by which God the Father gave the honor due to Christ because of His deity. When Jesus came to this earth, He did not receive honor for who He was. Most of the time. I mean, the angels sang and welcomed His birth, but most of the time He didn't receive that honor. But as soon as the crucifixion was over, as soon as He was buried in the tomb, 3 days later, the exaltation of Jesus Christ began. And here's the message. It began with the resurrection and is going to continue through eternity. He came to this earth for a while. He was humiliated. He was beaten. He was crucified. He was killed. But He rose again, and He will live forever. And I want you to see the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the exaltation of Jesus Christ began with His resurrection. We're going to start by looking at and thinking about all the people that Jesus appeared to alive and in His glorified body. Now, I'm speaking to Christians, and most of you Christians who've been Christians for a while. Because if I'd been talking to somebody else, we're talking about somebody who was dead. And now I just said, He appeared live and in a glorified body. Now, to us, we've heard that so many times. It's like, okay, now where are we going to turn? And let's look at this. And we start looking at facts. But you got to get past this. And I want you to somehow, I don't know how to do this, put yourself in the mind of a person who maybe has never heard about the resurrection before. And realize, Jesus came to this earth. Yes, He died, but He rose again. Nobody's ever done that of their own power. We're going to see that other people did rise again. But Jesus is the only one that raised Himself from the dead. All right, so we got to jump right into this because we've got a lot to give you. Who are some of the people that a dead man raised Himself from the dead and appeared to alive? Well, first we have Mary Magdalene in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. I'm going to give you a bunch of these, and as we go through this, you may think, wow, I didn't know He appeared to that many people after He rose again. Mark chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says this, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 devils." And I'm going to go down this list and realize each time Jesus appeared to one of these people, He was proving that what He had said before was true. He was going to rise again. Yes, I'm going to die, but yes, I am going to rise again. You can bury me for 3 days, but I'm going to rise again. And every time He was exalted because He was proving that He is God. So He's exalted as He appears to Mary Magdalene. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, He appears to these other women at the tomb. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what order these all go into. And I don't know that I have it all figured out. We're going to look at some of the different appearances of Jesus to these people, His followers, His disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, the Bible says this, "And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus," now this is after He was dead, "Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And as they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So He appears to them, and He says, all hail. I should have looked up the word all hail. You Texans, you're thinking probably a bad word right now, right? It's H-A-I-L. Give me glory. Not me, but this is what Jesus would have been saying. Give me glory. Recognize who I am. And the Bible says they bowed down and held His feet and worshiped Him. Jesus appears to Simon Peter in Luke chapter 24. We don't actually see the appearance, but Luke 24, 34, we got the disciples saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." I just gave you that one little one because I want you to see He appears to Mary Magdalene, He appears to these other women, He appears to Simon. Then in Luke chapter 24, 4, verse 13, He appears to these disciples on their way. We know this as the Emmaus Road. They're on their way to Emmaus. All right, so I'm not going to read the whole passage here. But Luke 24, 13, the Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them." The disciples, they're talking about all the stuff that happened. These weren't some of the 12 apostle disciples. These were some other disciples. They're walking, I believe, from Jerusalem. They're going to this place called Emmaus. And as they're walking, they're talking about everything that's been going on. You'd probably been talking about the same thing. Well, think about this. This has been a crazy week. They arrested Jesus. They crucified Jesus. They buried him in the tomb. It's been 3 days. We haven't heard anything. We're walking. We're leaving Jerusalem. We're heading back home. As we're walking home, this man joins us. Hey, can I walk with you? Do you mind some company? And he starts walking with us. And we're talking with him. And he says, what are you guys talking about? And we say, you can read this a little bit later, but I'll just give you the fast version. And we say to him, what do you mean, what are we talking about? Where have you been for the last week? Didn't you realize all the stuff that's going on? How Jesus came, he lived, he was crucified. He said he was going to rise again. Now it's been 3 days later, he hasn't risen again. And then look at verse 25. Then he spake unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's teaching them concerning himself. They don't recognize him. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone on further. Picture this. They're walking. Hey, well, I guess this is where we're stopping. We're turning here. This is where we live. And Jesus says something like, okay, well, fellas, it's nice meeting you. I hope you have a nice night. And they say something like, well, come on to our house. It's getting late. Why don't you come on in and eat with us tonight? Verse 29, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes are open. Then they say something like this, we've seen this before. We've heard this before. We've been in the presence of this person before. And in verse number 31, their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour. Remember, they just walked to Emmaus from Jerusalem. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him. So he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the others. He appeared to Simon Peter. Now he appears to these other disciples. They get up from this meal they're eating, and they run back to Jerusalem. And the very next verse, Luke 24, I'm sorry, verse 36, we'll pick it up. I want to read the middle one. I didn't print this. So Luke, are you there? You're already there. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 34. You're going to beat me. You're going to have to wait there for me for just a second. Luke 24 and verse 34. So they arose. They went back to Jerusalem. And verse 34, saying, the Lord, they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And they said, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. They're here with the other disciples. Said they came back with the 11 there. And while they're telling the other disciples, hey, we were on the way to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to us, and we just had to come back and tell you, while they're telling them this story, Luke 24, verse number 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So he's appeared now to Mary and to the other women, to Peter, to these other disciples. And now he's appeared to the apostles and some other disciples that were there as well. And so he's appearing to all these people. And he's being exalted in each time he appears to them. He's proving what I told you before. I was going to rise again. I am the Son of God. And not only as a man, but he's appearing to them in his glorified body. Whenever they saw him, they were frightened because they thought he was a spirit. And they said, no, spirits don't have flesh and bones, and spirits can't eat. And he proved that it was really him. So that is the day of his resurrection. The exaltation of Christ began on that day, but it continued, and after his resurrection, more people saw him. Do you remember who wasn't there when Jesus showed himself to the disciples that night? Who wasn't there? Thomas. What's Thomas's first name? Doubting. Okay, so it's not really his first name. It's his nickname. How would you like to have that nickname for the rest of your life? Hey, there's Doubting Thomas. Ah, why did I have to do that? He wasn't there that day. But in Luke chapter 20, I'm sorry, this is John. John chapter 20, verse 26. I'll start reading. You can just jump in when you get there. John 20, 26. This is after the day of the resurrection, and he keeps showing himself to more people. John 20, 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Now Thomas is with them this time. Then said he unto Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed." So now Thomas sees the glorified Savior. John chapter 21, verse 1, the disciples are out. This is after the resurrection. This is after the day of the resurrection. We don't know exactly when it was. They're out fishing. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Other disciples went with him. John 21, verse 1, I won't read the whole story, I'll just read one verse. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself." And you got the whole story where the disciples are out in the boat fishing, Jesus is on the shore, and he says, "Did you catch anything? Throw your nets on the other side." They threw their nets on the other side, and they caught so many fish, they couldn't bring them all in. And when that happened, Peter said, "It's the Lord." He's the only one that could have said that, "Throw your nets on the other side," and they'd catch fish, and it actually happened. He knew it's the Lord. He jumps overboard. They all go to shore, and there's a conversation of, "If you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs," all that. That happens on that day. 1 Corinthians 15, 6, the Bible shows us, at one point, I'll just read it to you. "After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." So he's shown himself. He's risen again. But he's showing himself to these people, one here, a couple there, a couple here, and then 500 people at one time. Verse number 15, I'm sorry, James, in 1 Corinthians 15, 7, I know I'm being very confusing now, I'm sorry, not the book of James, but he showed himself to James in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. I'm just going to read this verse quickly. "After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." So you've got the day of his resurrection, lots of people seeing him. You've got after his resurrection, and before the day of his ascension, a lot of people are saying, and then his exaltation continues. See, here's what's happening. You've got this man who was born in a manger, lived this poor life. His dad was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. He walked everywhere he went. Didn't even know where he was going to sleep sometimes. He was crucified. He was buried. But now it's changing. Now what's happening is God is making it obvious, little at a time, here and there, that he is the Son of God, that Jesus is God. So he's risen again. That's the beginning of his exaltation. People are seeing this, but now something amazing is going to happen. Go to Matthew chapter 28. You've got this last time that he shows himself to his apostles. They go up to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is there. He calls them there. I think we may be talking about the same place in Matthew 28 as we do in Mark chapter 16. I think they worked together. Maybe they had a meal there together on the Mount of Olives. Jesus is there. He's with his disciples. And look what he says. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And he finishes the chapter. Now, if you don't have to turn there right now, but in Mark chapter 16, you've got the same great commission being given to the disciples. And then it says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." We're talking about the exaltation of Christ. No longer is he just a carpenter. No longer is he just a poor Jewish man. But now, Jesus Christ, he has ascended up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. The Bible says they looked up until they saw a cloud just received him out of their sight. You ever lost a balloon, first of all? All right. I remember that was one of the saddest days in our children's young lives, the day they lost that balloon. I remember the crying and the, ah! And it was like, it was the worst thing that had ever happened. And you watch it, and you watch it, and you're like, well, there goes the balloon. Bye. And you watch it, and you watch it. You know it's not the end of the world, but they think it is. Ah! And it goes and goes and goes until it's a little bitty dot, and you can't see it anymore. That's kind of what I'm picturing the disciples doing. It's like, wow. Wow. And as they're standing there, the two angels come and say, what are you standing around looking here for? And we'll get back to that in just a little bit. At his ascension, he is exalted as he ascends up into heaven. But he continues to be exalted after his ascension. There are more people that saw him, that saw the resurrected Savior. There was a deacon in the church named Stephen. Stephen was a man, the Bible says, full of faith and power. And he was out telling people about Jesus. While he was doing that, they got so mad at him, they dragged him outside of the city and stoned him. They killed Stephen because he was preaching to them about Jesus. Acts chapter 7, verse 55, the Bible says, but he, talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. There he's being stoned. He's about to die. He looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Can you imagine looking up into heaven and seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God? I can't imagine that. But he did. It reminds us that heaven's a lot closer than we might think it is. Let that sink in for just a minute. Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus. We know science now. So we know that you can keep going and going and going and going for forever as far as we know. Like you can go up to the moon. You could travel for years because we've sent satellites into space and they go. So we've got this idea that heaven is just so far away. But Stephen looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Just a reminder, heaven is a lot closer than we think it is. The throne of God, so much closer than we think it is. We need to continually go boldly to the throne of grace. And that is our prayer time. Don't forget. It's so close. All right, so but Stephen, he looks up and he sees the glorified Savior. The Apostle Paul, before he's the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. And he was a murderer, Saul. But he was they would consider him a good murderer. All right, now here's why. Because he was doing it for religious reasons. So he was going with permission of the Jewish church. And he was going, and he was knocking on Christians' doors, and if he would find people there that were Christians, he was dragging them off to prison, and many people died because Paul arrested them. He testified for them at their death. In fact, Stephen, I believe, was one of these. Paul didn't actually stone him. He held the coats of those who were stoning him, just as guilty. But Saul, here he is. He's on his way to Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him, listen to this, there shined round about him a light from heaven. All right? From the sky, this light shines down. And it was in the middle of the day. This light, it's so bright, it blinds him for, I think it was 3 days he was blinded. And this light shines down from heaven. What do you do when you're walking down the road and a light shines down from heaven and blinds you? Well, here's what Saul did. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He knew it was God talking. And he said, God, I want to know who you are. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Saul thought he was serving God in killing the Christians. Now he realized he was persecuting God. And now he's talking, Jesus is talking to him, this light shining from heaven. And Jesus is once again exalted. He's not just the man. He's not just the man who's crucified, not just the baby in the manger, but now God speaking from heaven, this bright light shining down. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. There's another man that saw Jesus. Now he saw Jesus when Jesus was alive. He was one of the followers of Jesus. His name's John. And while Jesus was alive, in fact, Jesus came to John's boat. John was out there fishing. Peter and Andrew were brothers, and John and James were brothers. They're all fishing together. Jesus came to John, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. John was one of the ones that left his boat and left his father and said, okay, I'll follow you. He followed Jesus for those 3 years. He saw Jesus crucified. He saw Jesus buried and risen again. This is the John that Jesus looked down at the cross. Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. This is years later. John has been exiled to the island of Patmos. They tried to kill him, but they couldn't. The way I understand it, they tried to boil him in oil. They did, trying to kill him, but he just wouldn't die. Finally, they sent him out to excommunicate him. They put him out on this island, and while he's out there, Revelation chapter 1, Jesus is exalted again. Look at this, Revelation 1:10. This is John talking, and he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Have you ever heard a voice as of a trumpet? I don't know that I have, but I've heard a trumpet. We had trumpets in our wedding. Oh, I love the trumpet. They're powerful. Anybody play the trumpet? What a powerful instrument they are. And can you imagine a voice like a trumpet? And here it is. I hear this voice behind me. The voice behind me is like a trumpet. And here's what it's saying. "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." He says, "I heard this voice saying, write this book to these churches, and I turned," verse 12, "to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man." Why would he know what the Son of Man looks like? Talking about Jesus. Why would he know what Jesus looks like? Because he's John. He was there with Jesus. So he had seen Jesus. He'd seen him before the crucifixion. He'd seen Jesus after the resurrection. He said, "I turned and I saw one in the middle of these candlesticks. He was like Jesus. And here's what else I saw." But it didn't look quite like Jesus. He was as like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And he's talking about Jesus. It's the same Jesus that he knew. It's the same Jesus that he laid his head down on his shoulder while they were eating during that Last Supper. But he's looking at him, he's saying, "This is different. It's the same one, but something's different. His hair is white like wool. His eyes were a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they'd been burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." That means you can't look at it. You can't look at the sun. You're not supposed to. Didn't you listen to your mom? Don't look at the sun, right? When somebody says, "Hey, look at the sun," don't look at the sun. Even if it's an eclipse, don't look at the sun, right? His face is shining like the sun. And John's looking at him, he's saying, "Wow, this is, he looks like the Son of Man, he looks like Jesus, but this is different." And he said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." What a difference. All these times, as he appears to the disciples and he appears to other people, and now John sees him in heaven. Well, I've got a whole bunch more that I want to give you. We may have to do it at a different time. I want to talk to you about the resurrection. I want to talk to you about all that, but I'm going to skip a little bit. Let's just finish with this, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. It's going to continue through eternity with the recognition of Jesus Christ as God. Now listen, I preached two pages. I skipped three, all right? You ought to be happy, right? Woo! I've got half a page left and we're done. All right, so turn here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Are you ready? We're going to look at three more scriptures and we're done. It's kind of, how many of you ever, you ran the mile in high school and you had to run around the track four times? How many of you ran, maybe, do you ever run 2 miles, even further than a mile? You got to run and you run. And finally the coach says, "You're on your last lap. Come on, you can do it." We're on our last lap, all right? You there? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. The exaltation of Christ started at his resurrection, but it's going to continue through eternity as the entire world, the entire universe recognizes that Jesus is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. When Jesus returns as God, and then shall that wicked, capital W, wicked, be revealed. I believe it's talking about the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Here's Jesus coming back. The Bible says we're not going to have time to turn there to Revelation, but Jesus is coming back, and he's riding on this white horse, and he's got on his vesture and on his thigh his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he comes down, and he destroys the wicked that's fighting against him. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Jesus reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, and the exaltation of Jesus Christ continues. He's not just a man. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a prophet. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is Christ. Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Jesus Christ, reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the earth for 1,000 years. But it's not over with that. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. The exaltation of Jesus Christ, it not only continues, but it grows. As Jesus is the object of glory and honor in heaven. And it's not just for a while. It's not just for a year. It's not just for 10 years. But it's forever and for all eternity. He's the object of glory. He's the object of honor. Everybody in heaven is singing and praising. And I want you to just see these verses, Philippians 2, 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God and the Father. Every knee, every creature, one more place. Did you just find that one place? Now I'm turning to another place already. Revelation 5. This is the last one. Revelation 5. Oh, there's so many more. There's so many more. Here's what I've been doing. I've been loving this. Since January, my personal goal has been to read through the New Testament once a month. This has been the most exciting personal journey for me I've ever had in the Scriptures. I'm going from the Gospels to the exaltation of Christ, and doing it fairly quickly, and seeing from the birth and the manger to Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. There's so much more. I hope that this just whets your appetite to get in the Scriptures and find out what the Bible says more about this. But we're going to have to finish with this because of time tonight. Revelation 5:11, and I beheld. I want you to try to put yourself, as we read this, put yourself into this picture. Put yourself into this story. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. Are you there with me? Can you try to picture this tonight? So every time we say a new word that describes it, picture it. Picture where it is in this big 3D environment where we are. You millennials, you understand that, right? Teens, you understand 3D environment, right? Do you understand that? We good? Okay, older people are like, what are we talking about? Let's just move on. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Before we get to that part, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, and thousands. They'd more than fill this auditorium up, we could say it that way. We're talking millions, billions of people. And angels, and all these creatures around the throne, and all of them focus on one place, the throne where Jesus is sitting. Everybody, the focus of every person. And as they are all looking at the throne, these millions and billions of people looking down at the throne, here is what they are saying. It's in verse 12, and they're not saying it. I have to keep stopping here. They're not saying it like we come to church and sing hymns on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, we're still half awake. Our donut hasn't quite hit our sugar, you know, our system yet. We're still kind of like, they're saying it with a loud voice. I mean, they are in the presence of God. And they are saying this millions and billions. And again, I have to stop. When you're singing like a song and you're kind of by yourself and you're singing it out as loud as you can, you sing. But let me tell you something. When you're surrounded by people all around you, and the people all around you are singing, and they're singing as loud as they can. I remember in Bible college, the chapel service was the best time. I love chapel. And all around us, everybody was standing, and we're singing, and we're singing I don't remember the psalm now. I had it on the tip of my tongue. But we're singing it, and it's just, there's something about when the other people around you are singing, and now we're surrounded. We've got millions and billions of people around us. The focus of our attention is our Savior and on His throne. And in verse number 12, we're saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And we're singing this with a loud voice. Verse 13, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Forever. The baby born in the manger wasn't just the baby. Wow. The exaltation of our Savior. Don't forget it. Don't forget, Jesus is God. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you pray. When you pray, it's not just, "Dear Jesus," it's, "Dear," and you remember, "Oh, I'm talking to Jesus, the Savior, the one who millions and billions will be adoring as the Lamb of God." Father, I pray that You would just help us to keep this in our hearts and in our minds, that Jesus is God. One day, and I don't believe it's going to be very long, one day we will be in Your presence, and we will be in that crowd, and we will be part of the "Worthy is the Lamb." And Lord, I pray that You would help us to live every day with that day in mind.